We all want some level of safety and security. Firefighters, construction workers, EMT. They're all there when you need them to help manage life's chaos. In retirement, you want that same level of safety, but who is there for you to make sure your money will last? Ryan isn't just there in case of emergency. He's there so you don't have an emergency with your money. A safer retirement doesn't mean a boring retirement, but a prepared one full of the things that inspire you. This is Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker.
Welcome to Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker of Decker Retirement Planning. Also with us from Brian's firm, Decker Retirement, is Brad Geddes. I'm Mark Elliott. Glad you're with us. Find out more about the Brian and the team at DeckerRetirementPlanning.com. And I say it every week. There's an opportunity for you to learn more about some of the things you may not understand and know, maybe about retirement. There are 12 different things you can download on the website. So DeckerRetirementPlanning.com under the heading of Safer Retirement Education. 12 different things you can download. There's a checklist challenge. There's a sample income plan. Three principles of retirement book. There's also Brian's book on retirement, The Decker Approach. So that's just four of the 12 things you could download. There's no cost to you. Download it. Maybe you have questions, you call the team. That's 833-707-3030, 833-707-3030. I'm Mark Elliott. Glad you're with us today. All right, Brian, you and Brad going to break down the tax world, right, for us today?
Yes, taxes. We are not CPAs. We can't give tax advice, but we're going to be, as fiduciaries, we're going to be talking strategy about how clients can dramatically lower their taxes. And Brad, I want to start with the year-end strategy of gathering losses and offsetting and go into detail about that. Because if your advisor is not harvesting losses every year, you have a cost basis that is unnecessarily low and capital gains taxes that are unnecessarily high. Brad, spend some time on that one.
Yeah, I think the two biggest ones you're addressing there, to go one level deeper, is tied to two really, let's just say, bad practices that are taken as a given in the world of financial advisory, and that's tax deferral and not treating after-tax assets the right way. So there's a saying that I like to use here. It's not about asset allocation. It's about asset location. So I think a lot of what we'll talk about today is ways to avoid that common pitfall of following your typical CPA advice, or even more common, that financial advisor advice to just defer income, 401ks, IRAs, and at least in my area, that deferral just does actually lead to a lower tax bracket, which is what the whole concept of a deferral is about. You pay taxes later when you're supposedly going to have a lower tax rate. That just isn't the case oftentimes in many people's retirements. Much less if the federal government raises rates. But yeah, when it comes to those after-tax assets, now those capital gains distributions you get from mutual funds, the lack of ability to do tax loss harvesting throughout the year, just extremely tax inefficient on what we'll refer to today as non-qualified funds, or basically just your normal assets that are outside of your typical IRAs and Roth IRAs.
So these are the joint accounts, the trust accounts, the individual accounts that are outside of retirement accounts. Let's give some examples in the recent past of tax loss harvesting. In 2020, whoever had any energy companies, any pipeline companies, natural gas companies, they got hammered. And if you wanted to hold those long term as a core position, what you should have done, Brad, walk us through how you harvest those losses and offset some gains that you might have. Let me give you a scenario. In 2020, you've got huge gains in Amazon and Apple, and you're down 25-30% on your positions in your energy stocks. What do you do in 2020?
You start pitting those against each other. You can harvest some of those longer term holdings that you have in the energy sector. Take advantage of being able to sell off portions of their best gainers. And in that way, you are not paying any capital gains whatsoever on those holdings that have done really well. Now, wait a month or so, and you can rebuy both those positions. So if they're core long-term holdings that you want to retain, go ahead and part ways with them for a short period of time. And then you can get back in once that wash sale timeframe has passed. And the whole goal there is to just not let your capital gains run away from you. The number of times that I come across portfolios is crazy how often it is where people just feel like they're looking at this bundle of taxes rather than an asset. And they just feel like they can't touch these holdings because of how low their cost basis is. Their solution is just, well, I can't use it, so therefore I'm going to give it to my kids or to my loved ones for a step up in basis. And it just becomes frustrating to have to deal with that. So you want to keep actively managing that cost basis through things like tax loss harvesting.
So I want to be even more specific. So I'll just take it here. So let's say you own XOM, ExxonMobil, and your cost basis is, I don't know, let's say that it's X and you have a loss going into 2020 of 25%. So what you do is you sell XOM and you buy XLE, which is the ETF for energy. That's the energy ETF. So in the next month, like Brad, you covered, is if energy goes up, you participate. But you're out of the stock for 30 days. Now, the same day you sell XOM, you sell AAPL, you sell Apple. And by selling it, you have a gain and you've got to calculate the dollar. Say you have a $80,000 loss on XOM. Well, that means that you can offset that and wash it against $80,000 of gain. So you don't sell your entire Apple position, you sell $80,000 worth of it to produce that loss, wait 30 days. And by the way, when you sell AAPL, you buy XLK, which is the technology ETF. So if technology goes up or energy goes up during that 30 days that you're out, you're going to participate. After 31 days, you rebuy AAPL and XOM, you book that loss against that gain. You've got a higher cost basis with AAPL because now your repurchase cost basis is the day that you buy that share back. So that's called tax loss harvesting. Usually it's fourth quarter, Brad, but in 2020, it was probably in March, April, when the markets took that big hit. But that is something that if you've got a non-qualified trust individual taxable joint accounts, that should be done every year. Brad, any comments on that before we actually go to the biggest tax saving strategies that people have every year, most everyone?
Yeah, I just think the biggest thing there is just you never let a good loss get away. You want to take a look at those losses as ways to improve your tax situation rather than just waiting and holding on for dear life. You want to take advantage of that.
Okay, now, Brad, I want to tee up what I believe, and we've talked about, is the biggest tax saving strategy for the average Joe, the average American. I'm going to give these numbers, and Brad, you take it from there. You know where I'm going to go to. This is the Roth conversion strategy. A Roth account grows tax-free, distributes income back to you tax-free, passes to your beneficiaries tax-free. Here's the numbers that we did. 60-year-old million-dollar IRA growing at 6% a year, dutifully at, in this case, age 72, pays required minimum distribution taxes, and we killed him off at age 90. How much tax did he pay? Well, in his lifetime, he paid $676,732.22 in taxes, but wait, there's more. Because of the SECURE Act, the beneficiary IRA that goes to the beneficiaries, they have 10 years to pay the rest of the taxes, which in this case is another $718,496.14 for a grand total of $1,395,228.36, almost $1.4 million in taxes. Now, listeners, grab your wheel carefully because this is the most shocking number that you'll hear in the entire radio show. The IRA is the most tax inefficient vehicle on the planet because after 30 years of growing a million-dollar IRA at 6% a year, killing him off at age 90, the net of tax transfer is a measly 1.223385 in after-tax transfer. So 1,223,385 transfers after 30 years of 6% growth. The IRS loves the IRA account. Congress loves the IRA account. We hope that you do something to make a difference in your taxes. And here's what we hope you do. It's the Roth conversion. If you think that tax rates are going to be going higher, and there's 34 trillion reasons why you should, then what you do is proactively pay taxes on that IRA now so that all that growth is tax-free. So the same 60-year-old million-dollar IRA growing at 6% a year, we proactively pay taxes and convert 225, 225, 225, 50,000 a year, so that age 72, there's no IRA left. Killed him off at age 90. How much tax did he pay? Did he pay total taxes of $1,395,228? No, paid $319,474, almost $1.1 million less in taxes. The transfer to beneficiaries, was it $1,223,385? No, it was $4,151,932, almost four times that. So, Brad, take it from there. The Roth, talk about why it's so widely beneficial and how mathematically, how we calculate how much to convert each year.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Roth conversions, it falls in one of two categories for tax planning techniques. There's kind of two ways I think about tax planning. One of them is techniques that are hugely applicable, broadly applicable. They fit for almost every portfolio that I work with. And then the others are deeply impactful. And so while Roth IRA conversions, very applicable in almost all cases. So it's something I bring up for all different clients with all different sizes of estates, because everyone is in a tax bracket. Everyone is going to have some form of a stable tax bracket at some point in the future. And I call it their second most acceptable tax bracket. Their first one is zero. That's the goal, is you want to get to the 0% tax bracket. But if we have to accept that there's going to be some taxes paid, we want to identify what that acceptable, second most acceptable tax bracket will be. Whether that's going to be the 22% bracket, 24% bracket, maybe 32, 37. But wherever they are going to be camped out for the majority of their retirement, that's the bracket you want to fill up with these Roth conversions. Because as you said, Brian, you know, there's reason to think taxes might go up in the future, but even if you didn't want to play the tax rate predicting game, it's very reasonable to expect people to be pushed into higher tax rates in the future simply because those RMDs do accelerate. The older someone gets, the bigger that IRA can grow, and that can lead to someone actually being pushed to a higher tax rate in the future because of the RMDs. Then even more is, especially in the case of spouses, even with no change in tax rates, if we can safely assume there's going to be a surviving spouse at some point, well, in that year, that person is going to go from married filing jointly, as they enjoyed for 40 years, to filing as a single filer. And that tax rate that they had jointly shared is going to be fundamentally different than the rate that they have when they're a single filer. So you want to fill up those tax brackets when you're there. Pay as little in cumulative dollars as possible by proactively converting pieces of tax-deferred accounts into a tax-free account like a Roth IRA. I like to say the IRS lets you pay taxes whenever you want, and that's a fact we're taking advantage of with our clients.
And of course, Brian also likes to say an IRA is an IOU to the IRS. Right, Brian? I mean, how are you going to leave your money behind if you leave it to an IRA and it's a Secure Act 1.0 in 2019 went into effect in 2020? That's what changed. Where you used to be able to use a stretch IRA and just pass it down generation to generation. Now they've changed that, where when you leave money behind to your heirs, they've got 10 years to pay the taxes on all that money. You leave $1 million, I got to do it all in 10 years. So it's a different world. The question is, how are you leaving things? And if you're retiring and you get to that RMD age, how's that going to affect your taxes? So Brian, Brad, and the team at Decker Retirement are here to help guide you. If you have questions or would like to learn more, how to be tax efficient, a lot of moving parts here when you have traditional IRAs and 401ks haven't been taxed yet. Every dollar you pull out is taxable. How are you going to handle that? 833-707-3030 if you'd like to chat with the team. They're here to help guide you. No cost to you. 833-707-3030. 833-707-3030. Brian and Brad talking taxes today on Safer Retirement Radio. Back with more right after this.
Have you ever done something and then thought, well, that was a giant waste of money?
You might have that same thought in retirement if you don't plan for taxes. Call the team at Decker Retirement Planning to make sure you aren't giving more to Uncle Sam than you have to. 833-707-3030. That's 833-707-3030.
Who likes uncertainty? Wall Street certainly doesn't. With near record inflation and partisan politics, there's a lot of uncertainty right now. What will America's future look like? What will your future look like? Will your taxes go up? Will your savings go down? For more than three decades, Brian Decker has seen uncertainty come and go. No matter what the future holds, Brian and the team at Decker Retirement can help you create a plan designed to preserve your finances in uncertain times. And it's not a matter of if those uncertain times will show up, but when. Call 833-707-3030 now to meet with Brian Decker and the Decker Retirement Team. If uncertainty is causing you to feel insecure, Brian Decker can help. Call 833-707-3030 and schedule your visit today. 833-707-3030. Investment advisory and insurance services offered through Decker Retirement Planning, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
You're listening to Safer Retirement Radio. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by DeckerRetirementPlanning.com or call 833-707-3030 to talk to Brian.
Welcome back to Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker and Brad Geddes of Decker Retirement Planning. I'm Mark Yelly. Glad you're with us. Brian and Brad talking taxes today. And I know you just scratched the surface, Brian, so you've got a lot more to get to with Brad. I will let you go there, but you like that, right? An IRA is an IOU to the IRS.
I do like that. What I wanted to cover, just to button up Roth as a topic, is how we convert it. Maybe other advisors know, well, yeah, Roths are good, but what's the context? How much should you convert each year? We do the calculations as follows. Each year, we look at gross income minus the standard deduction, and we look at the tax brackets to see how much headroom there is, how much room before we bump to the next bracket. And that's what we try to do. We try to keep, if possible, our clients out of the 32% bracket. But the difference between 22 and 24, no big deal. There's a big difference between 24 and 32, big difference between 12 and 22. So we try to be, as a math-based firm, we try to be cognizant of those big bracket jumps. Brad, now let's go to another big tax saving strategy, and that's capital gains. I would say next to the Roth conversion, next to tax loss harvesting, I'm going to go from biggest down to the smallest. People do not like to pay huge capital gains. So let's say they've owned Amazon for 10 years, Apple for 10 years. They're a dentist that bought an office building. He's going to retire after 40 years. They're looking at massive capital gains. Brad, what are the options there?
Yeah, the obvious one is what most people try to do, which is just hold on to it, and they're going to give it to their kids on a step-up in basis in the future. And while that works as kind of a luxury in some cases, a lot of my clients need access to those funds, and so they do have to encounter the possibility of paying capital gains in order to have the retirement that they wanted. So I think step one is to figure out what kind of options you're working with here, because it is true that current tax law, you can pass it on for a step up in basis. But let's assume that someone is looking to either, they do have to sell that dental practice building, or they want to, or they need to in order to have the retirement that they want. Well, what you're looking at there is a couple things to try to minimize it. I think the first one to be aware of is something called a deferred sales transaction, a DST. And that's where you structure with the buyer the ability for you to be able to control how much you are paying in taxes over a number of years. So DSTs, deferred sales transactions, can be quite helpful for minimizing the amount of taxes that you're paying over time. You are still paying taxes because you're not shielding it from taxation. You're just receiving the economic benefit over time, and you can be pretty thoughtful about that. Something definitely people should do with larger transactions like sale of the business and rental real estate, things like that. Another one that I think people should be aware of is something called a charitable remainder unit trust. So my office is in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I mean, it's just crazy how frequently I come across these very concentrated positions from someone accumulating appeared at Apple in early 2000s or something, and or maybe they went through an IPO and they just have a substantial amount of concentrated stock, and they're just like, man, I feel like I can't touch it. Well, in those cases, you can use certain trust techniques to both shield against capital gains, give you control over how and when you sell that, but not letting the tax tail wag the dog there. You also still retain both control over how it's invested and can receive economic benefit for it over your life or from it for the rest of your life. So I do like charitable remainder unit trusts. This was one to consider in a lot of cases for some of these larger positions that people are looking to part ways with.
Okay, Brad, let's talk about the steps of the charitable remainder trust, the benefit, and when it could be used and not used, when it's applicable, not applicable. Let's take someone who's, let's say that they're retiring in their 60s and they've got this huge, massive capital gain, and maybe they don't have any children, or maybe they have probably one or two children. So what they do is step one is they will choose one or more charities. Step two, they'll retitle the property or the stock in the name of the charity. Step three, sell it. They incur no capital gains because it's outside of the estate. Step four is they receive a huge charitable deduction that can offset income or future capital gains. A lot of times we'll use that to convert IRA to Roth. And then step five is we will manage those funds in what we've covered in other radio shows as momentum strategies that are designed to make money in up or down markets. We can get more of a consistent return. And that way, when the requirement is for at least 5% distributions each year, what we hope to see is that we put X outside of their estate and have 30 years to bring 3X back into the estate. The only negative is, well, there's two negatives to this strategy. If one huge positive, there's a couple huge positives. One, no capital gain. Second is a massive charitable credit to offset taxes. But the two negatives are it's outside of your estate. So if something were to happen to you and your spouse, those funds are outside of your estate and not transferring to your beneficiaries. That's a risk. Second thing is over 20, 25, 30 years of bringing income back into your estate, that's taxed as income. So the capital gains rates are lower right now than they'll probably ever be in the rest of our lives. There's a case, Brad, we have a saying that we focus on minimizing taxes everywhere except for the capital gain. There's a wise case to be made to take the capital gains before January 1 of 2026. Now, Congress has to make the change. They haven't put anything on the table yet, but the Biden administration is talking about a 30% capital gain when right now it starts at 18. So this could be a very smart time to take capital gains, pay the gain, get a new basis, and to make the necessary changes. What's sad, Brad, and I'm going to hand this off to you here. What's sad is estates where people retire with, I don't know, $2.5 million, but $1 million of that $2.5 million is non-qualified position that they don't want to pay any capital gains on, and they're underutilizing their investments in a huge way. You want to maximize your capital gains because that means you maximize your after-tax gain. One quick story. I'll never forget. I should have printed my screen. November of 1999, in Redmond, Washington, backyard of Microsoft. Microsoft traded at 164 pre-split. And I had a client, I said, hey, you should sell this. It's trading at a massive premium over growth rate. And he said, there's no way I'm selling. Anyone who sold up to this point has made a mistake. And he was right. But what he watched in horror as the stock split 2-for-1, went from 164 to 82, and then in 2001 and 02, that tech wreck went down to 18. It took him 14 years to get his money back from that November 1999 date. Would he, in hindsight, have taken, I've talked to him about this, absolutely, he would have taken the gain and realigned his portfolio. He had a concentrated position. Most of his net worth was in Microsoft stock, typical, right? But there are reasons that you want to take the capital gains, Brad. Take the ball on that and how you advise people to reduce their concentrated risk in one stock.
Yeah, so concentrated positions, see it all the time. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Brian. There's so much to be said for effective tax management and thoughtful planning around ways to lower your overall tax burden. But a lot of it does come down to capital gains rates really are the best tax to pay. So not being afraid to incur a tax. The other way I think about capital gains, Brian, is that if you were to pay capital gains today and then say a month later, repurchase the same holding and continue to hold it indefinitely for the future and sell it at some point in the future, you're effectively paying the same total cumulative taxes. All you're doing is stepping up the basis along the way and not letting that tax tail wag the dogs. Capital gains, I do like to avoid it whenever possible, but I am conscientious of the fact that it is the best tax rate to pay if you can. You're in lockstep in performance with the government, and it's the only one where the better you do, the better they're going to do. And the only way to lower your capital gains is to lose some money outside of some of those more nuanced tax planning techniques that you just addressed there, Brian. I have a couple other thoughts, but maybe we'll take them after the break.
All right, so Brad, we'll get to those extra thoughts when we come back. But here's the deal. There's a lot of different parts when it comes to your retirement. There's income, right? You got to replace paychecks no longer coming in. Your investments, are you taking too much risk, the right amount, or not enough? Healthcare, long-term care, taxes, certainly going to change. What the books right now say, December 31st of 2025, the tax code we're under now stops and we go back to 2017 rates in 2026. We'll see if all that transpires. But that's not going to change your tax rates by 3%, might be 30%. So a lot of areas here, and then you think of legacy and estate planning, Social Security, medical, Medicare decisions. Brian and the team at Decker Retirement are here to help. 833-707-3030 again is the number. Again, totally complimentary. It's an opportunity for you to get some clarity into your picture. 833-707-3030. Maybe you're getting close to retirement. You're like, boy, I wonder if I could retire. Do I have enough? Is it going to last? Why not find out? Talk with the team at Decker Retirement. They're here to help you. 833-707-3030. 3030, 833-707-3030. We'll get Brad's continuation of his thoughts when we come back right here on Safer Retirement Radio.
Do you need help ensuring any remaining assets that you've worked so hard to create are distributed to your beneficiaries in the most tax-efficient manner? If you would like to talk or meet with Brian about your legacy planning, call 833-707-3030. Again, that's 833-707-3030. 3030.
Glad you're with us for Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker and Brad Geddes of Decker Retirement Planning. Again, you can always learn more on the website, DeckerRetirementPlanning.com. Again, you can go there under the heading of Safer Retirement Education to find those 12 different things you can download no cost to you, including Brian's book on retirement, the Decker Approach book. That's DeckerRetirementPlanning.com under the heading of Safer Retirement Education. And when you get some of those, or all of those, or whichever one you want to learn more about, areas of retirement, you can always call the team with questions. There's no cost, 833-707-3030, 833-707-3030. I'm Mark Kelly. Glad you're with us. Brian and Brad talking taxes today. And I guess, Brad, did you want to just pick up where you were? Because you said you had a couple more thoughts on the subject.
Yeah, I was just going to say one more. This is kind of top of mind because of a recent client portfolio we implemented. And I mentioned tax planning before, where there's some broadly applicable ones like Roth conversions, and then some of the more specific ones that have a huge impact, like charitable remainder unit trusts and concentrated positions. But there's another way of looking at taxes to me, and there's kind of the defensive approach where you're trying to get in front of and block, you're trying to block against things like rising tax rates down the road. That's like a Roth conversion. But I also think about offensive techniques for tax planning. And a scenario here that I came across recently was someone who was going to hold a very concentrated position in a stock that a lot of people would know. And in this particular client interaction, we brought up charitable remainder unit trust. The problem with her is that she actually really likes the company. She's not seeking to part ways with it. So she's going to hold it indefinitely. She's like, you know what? My boys are going to get this down the road. I think I'm just going to hold on to it. But what we decided to do was implement a very offensive technique here. And we are, in effect, letting the stock pay its own capital gains. And this is using options. And Brian, you and I have talked a little bit about this offline, but this is using covered calls. Now, this is very counterintuitive because you're essentially generating more income in this situation. But that income, in theory, can be reserved to cover capital gains. Now, it can be used as well. You can use that income to live on. And what I think of it as is just, it's letting an idle stock position become more productive. If you think about generating an extra 3%, maybe 6% per year, that ends up becoming a non-trivial amount of extra cash flow that in theory could be used to pay its own capital gains. So it's starting to think about these offensive techniques for paying capital gains. It's kind of put a new lens on top of what is typically understood to be tax planning, where it's lowering your tax rate. But then what about doing something like making an idle stock more productive? And this was a little bit less applicable. You know, you need to have a rather large, concentrated position, somewhere maybe 300,000 to 500,000 or more, certainly is better. But you can use that offensive technique to let those stock positions pay their own capital gains in theory.
Okay, Brad, now let's talk about other strategies that could help people if they've got a spike in income because they sell stock options or something that spikes their income. How do we provide an offset to those people?
Well, I mean, I think, are you talking more charitable donations here? I mean, things like a donor-advised fund can work well.
I was thinking donor-advised fund, yep.
Yeah, so you can have donor-advised funds that are actually useful. I like to tell my clients, or if I were giving a presentation, if you've ever sat down at a gala that your friend talked you into going, or maybe you go to something to support Doctors Without Borders every year, and if you've ever written a check, if you ever paid cash for a donation, I like to tell my clients that they've done it wrong and they never should do that again. You never want to be donating money directly from your checking or savings accounts. You always want to be offloading appreciated assets if at all possible. So that's what donor advised funds are particularly good at, is when someone already is charitably oriented and they plan on being charitably oriented for the rest of their life. They're going to be giving a little bit to their church or to a charity that they care a lot about, be successful in the long run. Well, you can offload holdings and give the exact same equivalent amount of value to an entity that doesn't pay taxes, moving that tax liability off of your books and directly to benefit the charity that you're giving to. So donor advised funds can be used to front load large tax write-offs, especially in the case that you just outlined, Brian, where they might be incurring a lot more taxes as kind of a blip or a once in a every so often increase. So you can front load multiple years of gifting using things like a donor advised fund there. And I think it's quite effective for people, especially if they're already charitably oriented.
Okay. Now, Brad, what if you see an age difference in people that have 401ks? We've talked about the benefits of Roth conversions. There's a way to create a bigger runway for that couple with a big age difference. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty niche, but it is a good one to know about. So that qualified domestic relations order. And for those of you that know what that is, you've probably thought about it and had to maybe even encounter it in the case of a divorce. But this one I'm going to refer to as a happy quadro, where if there is a age gap of, say, 10 years or more between two spouses, well, the older spouse is actually legally allowed to gift half of their tax-deferred assets to their younger spouse. And by gifting it, it's still part of the household, but they've effectively given an extra decade for those conversions of an IRA to a Roth IRA, so that when the spouse that has the larger IRA, say they're getting close to 73 years old, and their spouse is, say, 60 or 61, 62. Well, by giving half of that IRA and retitling it in the name of their younger spouse, well, they've just bought themselves an extra decade to get that converted to a Roth IRA, lengthening the time between when that spouse needs to take those distributions tied to that half of the tax deferred asset. So happy qualified domestic relations order for spouses that are more than 10 years separate from one another.
Okay, now continuing on the different tax strategies, we have some clients that live in states that have state estate taxes. There's 37 states that don't have that. So one of the strategies is to move We've got a few offices in Washington State. For those clients, they have a 20% state estate tax for all amounts above $2.2 million per person. By the way, when we ask our clients about the state estate tax or the federal estate tax, half of them say, what the heck, whatever the kids get is more than I ever got. I don't care. I'm dead. They feel like no big deal. The other half have a quite a different response. They say, you know, after paying a lifetime of taxes, I would roll over in my grave knowing that the state of Washington took another $800,000 from me just because I died. I'm going to make sure that does not happen. The next thing to look at, if they're not going to move, they're going to stay in the state, is to look at their trust. So in their trust, if they use an AB credit, they can apply a $2.2 million offset credit per person for that couple. Now they have exclusions of $4.4 million on their estate, but we've learned recently that they give up passing assets with a stepped-up basis if you use the AB credit. So geez, the IRS is shutting down more and more ways to minimize taxes. But Brad, I just want to have you talk about the ILET, which is a way to prepay estate taxes at a discount.
Yeah, ILETs are quite useful, especially because they allow you to control so much about how assets are transferred to your beneficiaries. So an ILET, just for those of you that aren't familiar, ILET is a fancy acronym for something called an irrevocable life insurance trust. And what you can do with an ILET is establish, based on your health, so there's some actuarial aspects to this form of a plan, where you can have a life insurance policy cover any assets that you're looking to transfer to the next generation completely free of tax. In other cases, people might use it to generate immediate liquidity for assets that are expected to pass on to beneficiaries, where they don't want kids to have to come with that liquidity that's required in the case of death taxes. So with an ILET, you can get a life insurance policy that, again, based on your health, age, some other considerations there, time frame, different providers have different rates. But what that does is it removes, the ILET itself removes that death benefit from your taxable estate. In effect, you're gifting it while you are younger. So that premium, that first premium goes in, and you can gift that to your kids or grandkids while you are alive. And then that premium goes in every year for the rest of your life. And when you do pass away, which is the only certainty in all of this, your kids will be getting the value of that life insurance policy in the form of a death benefit. And thereby, it's completely tax-free. Used very often in high net worth or taxable estate planning. Very, very useful, especially if in the case of something like an income rider on an old variable annuity that you bought back in the 90s. This can be a really efficient way to translate that in that income stream to a benefit that your kids are going to inherit in the future. So again, it's a way to get an asset off of your balance sheet and into your kids' assets, but not doing it through your estate.
Okay, Brad, here's another one, another situation. Let's say a client has worked for XYZ company for 30 plus years, and they built up a very, very large gain in company stock. Let's say Boeing. Say a Boeing engineer just loves the company, keeps accumulating stock, has had massive growth, and it's in their 401k, Brad. So normally you think that that all that money is just going to roll over to an IRA. Once it rolls over to an IRA, it comes back to the individual as taxable income. But there's a catch, right? Talk to listeners about the strategy there.
Yeah, this is where having a proficient tax planner as a fiduciary can really save a boatload in taxes. So what you're talking about there is something called net unrealized appreciation, or NUA, where you can shift that 401k employer stock one single time into your non-after-tax account and only pay capital gains on any growth. And in that way, it becomes a much, much more favorable taxation rate on that amount of assets that you've accumulated, because capital gains rate is going to be a lot better than ordinary income taxes that you pay on that same stock if you were to do what you said, which is just roll it directly into your tax-deferred IRA. So definitely don't want to miss the opportunity, as it is only a one-time allowed when you sever employment to be able to move that from your 401k, your employer-sponsored plan, into a non-qualified account only via paying capital gains.
All right, so if you have any questions about any of this, qualified charitable distributions, about Roth, should I not? Do I do a lot this year and a little bit next year or vice versa? I don't even know. Call the team at Decker Retirement. They're here to help guide you. 833-707-3030. Closer you get to retirement is really the most important time to not make critical errors if they can be avoided. 833-707-3030. So the question is, because Brian said right at the start, hey, we're not CPAs. We can't really give you tax advice. So as financial planners, the team at Decker Retirement, how does what they do differ from the approach of accountants? We're headed there next. Stay with us. Back with the final segment of Safer Retirement Radio right after this.
Do you need help ensuring any remaining assets that you've worked so hard to create are distributed to your beneficiaries in the most tax-efficient manner? If you would like to talk or meet with Brian about your legacy planning, call 833-707-3030. Again, that's 833-707-3030.
Have you noticed the market's roller coaster ride lately? Even a single day's dip can significantly impact your retirement. If the idea of shielding your nest egg from market volatility resonates with you, it's time to talk to the experts at Decker Retirement Planning. Call us now at 833-707-3030. Our unique approach aims to dial down the risk, keeping about 25 to 30% of your assets at risk, instead of the conventional 60-40 pie chart. At Decker Retirement Planning, we don't use a pie chart. We strive to offer you a detailed retirement income plan. It's about seeing the bigger picture, aligning your investments to your long-term goals, and making informed decisions. Whether you're new to retirement planning or already have a plan, we can help. Call Decker Retirement today to learn about the six things we do well for our clients that all financial advisors should be doing. Call 833-707-3030 today. That's 833-707-3030. Investment advisory and insurance services offered through Decker Retirement Planning, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Safer Retirement Radio. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by DeckerRetirementPlanning.com or call 833-707-3030 to talk to Brian.
Glad you're with us today for Safer Retirement Radio with Brian J. Decker and Brett Geddes of Decker Retirement Planning. I'm Mark Elliott, 833-707-3030. If you'd like to have your own conversation about your specific situation with the team, it's really how it works. You call them up, say, here's some questions I've got. What do you think? They give you a response. They might say, hey, look, you've already won the retirement game. You can retire whenever you want to. You're good to go. You don't need us. They might say, hey, we really can't help you, but here's a couple ideas that might help you. They might say, hey, we can help you. And then at the end of the day, do you want their help? It's really that simple. 833-707-3030. There's no cost. There's no pressure. 833-707-3030. All right. Brian, I finished the last segment when you guys got done and said, all right, one of the things that I want to hear from you and Brad is you guys are retirement planners, which is different than a typical stockbroker or something like that. You're looking at income, investment, taxes, healthcare, legacy planning, Social Security, Medicare, all those things that pertain to retirees. But also you're talking taxes today. And you said, look, we're not CPAs. We're not going to do your taxes. We're not going to give you tax advice. So how does what you do in the tax world as retirement planners maybe differ from the approach of accountants?
Accountants look in the past and try to minimize your taxes using the law, tax law, and they're very good at that. They're very good at looking at your history in the rearview mirror and trying to minimize your taxes. There's some good ones, but there's very few CPAs that are recommending any of the strategies that we are recommending that we've talked about in this radio show so far. If you've missed some of this show, it's worth going to the podcast and pulling it up on our website, DeckerRetirementPlanning.com. Pull up the podcast about tax strategies that we've done today, and it's worth a listen because two groups of people, one, CPAs, for example, on Roth conversions, they tell you that wait for retirement, that's when your income will drop. Well, Brad, what percentage of your clients have their income drop in retirement? For me, it's about half.
It's rare. I mean, it's rare, I think, especially if you factor in the anticipation that there's a surviving spouse or possibility that rates can go higher in the future. Or it just is not so cut and dry that defer, defer, defer means you're going to have this magical world of lower taxes when you're no longer working. And it just doesn't happen, especially because you think about people that have saved up enough to retire. They've probably been fairly high earners their whole life, and they've been prudently saving that money and deferring it and putting it away for a long time. At the very least, most of my clients stay in the 22 or 24% bracket. There really is no effective change in their tax rate from when they were working to when they were retired. But there are some situations where they go lower, but I think mine is probably less than half. Actually do have a lower tax rate in their retirement years than when they were in their accumulation years.
Okay, and we talked to many sophisticated investors that are furious after we review what we just went through in the radio show today. And they're furious that they've never heard of these strategies before. We hear that all the time. I want to cover two more things here and then go back to some other tax strategies. One of them has to do with, Brad, cover the tax-saving strategy if you've got a bunch of rentals in creating a tax-free income stream on that rental income.
Yeah, real estate is an area. I mean, we operate mainly in the world of investments and securities, publicly available assets. But real estate is one of the areas where, well, we don't do anything specific in the tangible assets or owning real estate or private placements. But there are a lot of tax reasons real estate can be helpful for retirement. And one of them is a way to get tax-free income from an accelerated depreciation. So if anybody that's listening owns real estate, they know what I'm referring to when I say depreciation. It's one of the most valuable components of real estate, where you get to net against your cash flow non-cash transactions that factor in that your property is slowly depreciating or losing value because of the individuals that are living in there. Think about the roof needs to be replaced. There's carpets that need to be swapped out. And the IRS, depending on the property, allows you between 27 and 29 years to depreciate the full value of your property. And you get to write that off against your taxable income on that property every year. Well, in the event of doing a particular technique called a cost segregation study, what you can do is accelerate a big chunk of that value of your property to, say, 5 or 7 years. And in doing that, you can take advantage of, you know, your doorknobs. They don't depreciate over 30 years. You might have to swap those out as every time that you change renters. And things like even a roof, that's going to be needed to be replaced every so often and faster than over 20 or 30 years. Well, there's value of that property. Say if it's a $1 million property and there's value in there that is going to depreciate a lot faster in 27 or 29 years. And a cost segregation study allows an expert to come through, assign a value to the pieces of your property that do accelerate faster. And you can then file that with your taxes every year so that the IRS sees that you're accelerating that depreciation for good reason. And now what you can have is take all of that accelerated depreciation and net it against even 100% of that rental income that you're receiving, paying no taxes on that cash flow. And then when you're all done with that depreciation timetable, that accelerated depreciation, 1031 exchange, roll that property into a new one, reset that depreciation, and do it all over again. Very effective for people that own tangible assets like real estate.
Okay, Brad, one last thing, and then we'll jump back into the mainstream tax strategies. But the other one I want to cover is the Dynasty Trust. Now, there's a generation skipping tax of 48% penalizes you if you give money to your grandchildren. That is a generation skipping penalty because the IRS, you've just skipped a whole generation where they could have taxed those funds. And so the way to get around that is to use a dynasty trust. The dynasty trust is per stirpes, meaning bloodline only, assets pass children, grandchildren, their children, their children, their children. It's a legacy. There's two things about the dynasty trust. It's per stirpes, bloodline, and it's also almost perpetual. It's over 100 years. And so the dynasty trust is a way, let's say you've got three kids, you've got $10 million. Instead of dividing your estate three ways, you can create a dynasty trust and divide your estate four ways. List as the dynasty trust as a beneficiary equal with your kids. Everyone gets $2.5 million. And now when the assets pass, your dynasty trust is going to bless the lives of your legacy in any way you want. It's a blank slate. So, for example, you can give X percent of the trust for tuition and books if they go to college. If they don't go to college, they get nada. They get X percent on their first marriage, X percent to help on their first house. Any way you want to incent certain behaviors, you can using the dynasty trust. And so this is very popular for people where their kids say, "Mom, Dad, you know, we just really have been very successful. We don't need your money." Well, here's a way to send it downstream in your legacy. Brad, would you add anything to that?
No, I think you said it well. It's a common one where people have just done too dang good of a job raising their kids, and they're sitting there and the kids are telling them, "You know what, we want you to spend everything in your lifetime, and please don't even think about us." But the reality is a lot of my clients just simply can't spend all that they've accumulated, like sort of accidentally accumulated surplus. So this is a great example of how to handle that surplus.
Okay, Brad, we talked at the beginning about the biggest tax saving strategy, which is the Roth conversion. If people have options in their 401k to contribute to a Roth, talk about if they should. And also, Roth contributions are a limitation, especially if they're still working. They can't put a lot of money away. Talk finally in the last part of this segment about the backdoor Roth.
Yeah, so backdoor Roth IRA gained a lot of popularity during COVID. That's when it was Peter Thiel or something that accumulated a humongous amount in a Roth IRA, something like $5 billion at the time. I'm sure it's even bigger now. But in those situations, what you can do is when you are priced out, you can't contribute to a Roth IRA because you earn too much money and your employer does not have a Roth 401k. Well, a backdoor Roth IRA allows you to add some big words here, some non-deductible contributions to a tax-deductible account, so an IRA. So you can add the funds in there, but you've gone over the limit. So $7,500 if you're a current retiree is what you can add to an IRA. And then you can add anything over the IRA to be able to, or you can contribute it, but it's just not something you can write off in your taxes. Now, what you can do very quickly is move those dollars into a tax-free Roth IRA, sort of rebrand it. You do a conversion, in effect, move the money from that IRA into a Roth account. And that way you can have that tax-free growth on your after-tax dollars that you added to the IRA. So a really smart one when people, especially if they're younger and earning a lot and looking to add a little bit more to their retirement accumulation that they're expecting over the next several years, then that's a way they can get a lot bigger Roth IRA than in situations where sometimes they're not even allowed to contribute to a Roth. So now Roths are still attainable, even if you are a high earner.
Brad, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think you can get bogged down in what you're looking for is like a silver bullet, the perfect tax strategy, and you can get bogged down in the details. I think the main thing a good financial advisor is going to do is make sure that if you're going to pay taxes, it is only on the income that you need. The cash flow that you have to distribute because you want to cover your basics, that's fine. What you don't want to do is have any unnecessary taxes that are over and above the income that you're using on an annual basis. If you do that, you're doing a good job on your tax plan, and that's what we want to help with.
So the number to call if you want to chat with Brian, Brad, and the team at Decker Retirement is 833-707-3030. We don't control the tax codes. We don't control the tax brackets, but we control how and when we do pay our taxes. We certainly want to pay our fair share, just don't really want to pay more than our fair share. If you have questions about this, the Roth world, the charitable distributions, all those things they talked about today, 833-707-3030. Again, it's totally complimentary. Might be one of the more important phone calls you make. 833-707-3030. Brian and Brad, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Thanks, Mark.
Security and insurance services offered by Decker Retirement Planning, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual
individual's situation. Decker Retirement Planning is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during this show shall constitute tax or legal advice. Our firm is not affiliated with or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Decker Retirement Planning. This radio show is a paid placement.
Who likes uncertainty? Wall Street certainly doesn't. With near record inflation and partisan politics, there's a lot of uncertainty right now. What will America's future look like? What will your future look like? Will your taxes go up? Will your savings go down? For more than three decades, Brian Decker has seen uncertainty come and go. No matter what the future holds, Brian and the team at Decker Retirement can help you create a plan designed to preserve your finances in uncertain times. And it's not a matter of if those uncertain times will show up, but when. Call 833-707-3030 now to meet with Brian Decker and the Decker Retirement Team. If uncertainty is causing you to feel insecure, Brian Decker can help. Call 833-707-3030 and schedule your visit today. 833-707-3030. Investment advisory and insurance services offered through Decker Retirement Planning, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.